I was on the phone with, I think, the 15 biggest construction associations, so all the different people that are like the demolition people and this and that, representing hundreds and hundreds of small companies and hundreds of thousands of workers. And I took up with them the concern that had been raised with me by labor about the safety conditions. And even the labor people I talked to this morning before that call said to me there have been big improvements take place in the last week with hand washing and hand sanitation and so on.
That's the mayor, of course, of Toronto. He's going to be on this radio station tomorrow evening live, and you can ask him questions. But I was just talking in the last segment here about some research that came out from the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, and they are saying that nearly a third of small businesses may close within the month without more COVID-19 relief. Joining me now of Levitt LLP Employment Lawyers, Howard Levitt. Howard, the number of people who are going to have questions for you is just going to increase exponentially.
Unhappily, Jerry, yes.
Yeah, and if you have questions, whether you're an employer or an employee, the number here is 872-1010, 416-872-1010 for Howard Levitt. What kinds of, I know that your business has slowed down a little too, but what kinds of things are people calling you about right now?
Well, I'm getting a lot of calls from my corporate clients saying we have to lay people off. We don't want all of them being in a position to sue us for wrongful dismissal. What can we do? And I can give you that advice in a second if you want. The other questions are from employees giving exactly the converse of that. I've been laid off. I don't know that. I think it was, in some cases, they say, I think it was opportunistic. They wanted to get rid of me anyway. They're picking me, not five other people. What can I do? So what employees can do, of course, if they're laid off in a non-union environment, is sue for wrongful dismissal, unless their salaries are continued, but nobody's salaries are being continued, or virtually none. And what employers can do is actually give employees an election and say, we're going to give you a choice. We will terminate you because we have to reduce costs, or we'll lay you off without pay but continuing benefits up to maximum 35 weeks, but we'll call you back and guarantee you we'll call you back if work resumes before we hire anybody else. And I think in this environment, a lot of employees are taking that option and agreeing to be laid off without pay, because with all these businesses closing down permanently or reducing their staff permanently, and with the uncertainty we have right now, and uncertainty that's going to last indefinitely, I suspect, employees are realizing their best bet is to stay with their employer even without pay in the short term.
Here is Jason at 872-1010. Here is Jason. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. So my question is, I'm an independent small business, and so it's a corporation, but I'm the only employee. So it's a service in the service industry. It's not a product that I'm selling, and right now, being that everybody's got to be home, I've got no business. Like, what kind of relief is available by the federal or the provincial government for people like me?
Well, the government has introduced a program in very limited circumstances for people like you who have to stay home, but usually it's because of having to look after a family member or something like that. But obviously, if you're not an employee, well, let me ask you this, Jason. If you're, you say you're an independent business, but are you relying on one customer or many customers?
Many customers, and being that they're all closed, all of a sudden, I've got nobody calling for me to come out and, you know,
I understand.
Fix a wire
if
plug in a whatever.
Yeah. Many people are largely they're independent businesses, but they're largely reliant on one customer, and or maybe two or three customers, in which case if one of their customers represents most of their work, they could view themselves as really a dependent contractor, an employee, in which case they'd have, well, they'd be effectively wrongfully dismissed right now if they stop getting work. But that's not your situation. I know the government's introducing programs for small business, and I don't know that you qualify at this point, but the government's legislation is still rolling out, and it's not been concretized yet.
All right.
I know, for example, they're giving benefits at $450 a week to people who have to, to small businesses who are not employees, but actually independent contractors like yourself who have to stay home to look after family members, for example. That's $450 a week. But I don't know if you're giving any support. I don't believe you're giving any support right now for people who are just losing business because the marketplace is slow.
Thanks, Jason.
That might change because the government's getting lots of relief, and this is a very dynamic process. But so far, I think you're out of luck, unfortunately.
All right, Jason, thanks for the call. Numbers of people are saying, you know, as this gets worse, there are also unionized shops that are shutting down. And so what is the option then for a unionized employee? Do they just have to go directly to the union and ask as opposed to somebody like yourself?
Well, actually, Jerry, they are much worse off. Because if you're a unionized employee, inherently, you could be laid off without anything. Now, some collective agreements have termination provisions if layoffs occur at a certain after a certain number of weeks, or even require certain payments in the event of layoffs, although that's very rare, or require some weeks notice before they can be laid off. That's less rare, and you've got to know what your collective agreement provides for. Most collective agreements simply permit the right to be laid off, usually in seniority order, and there's no compensation at all, as opposed to a non-union employee who, if they're laid off without pay, it's inherently a wrongful dismissal, and they can sue for a full wrongful dismissal damages. That's a different situation. So union employees are actually worse off. This is one situation, well, like others that we've talked about in the past, where it's much better not being in a union.
Howard Levitt is with me of Levitt LLP, employment lawyer, and here is Adam on News Talk 1010.
Hey there, Howard. I work in one of the industries that are considered essential. It's property management and maintenance. I'm asking if one of the staff members decides that she no longer wants to come to work because of anxiety over the situation, which is perfectly understandable, is the employer still required to pay that staff member, or would they have to apply for EI?
Well, they can. Let's be clear. Whether they apply for EI is up to them. A lot of companies are saying, "Here's what you do: apply for EI. We're going to help you apply for EI." That's very nice, but it doesn't relieve the employer of any obligation that they have. You're talking about a situation where an employee doesn't want to work, and again, they can apply. I don't know whether the government will give them EI in those circumstances. I suspect they will under the new legislation. But it is equivalent in some respects to resignation, because they're not being required to not work. In other words, they're not being terminated. They're choosing not to come to work. So a hard look at existing EI laws would disentitle them from EI. But in any event, let's look at your obligation to them, which is what you're asking about. You could, if you're keeping a safe workplace, you're legally able to say you have to come to work. Assuming you're in an essential service, assuming you're an essential service, which you are. And interestingly enough, law firms are too. If they choose not to come to work anyway, you could take the position they're resigning. Again, assuming you're keeping a totally safe workplace for them. I would not recommend that, because I think in these times that would be a terrible branding exercise. But you certainly can say, we're not going to pay you if you choose not to come to work. And you've kept an entirely safe work environment with social distancing and everything else.
Thanks for your call.
So your smart move is just let them work without attend work without pay.
Good morning. I'm Jerry Yagar, and in our effort to keep you informed and up to date as best we can in this fluid situation, the world we live in today, I'm conducting an ongoing series with employment lawyer Howard Levitt of Levitt LLP. Is with me each morning from 10 until 10:30 to answer your questions and try to keep us ahead of what our rights and responsibilities are as employers or employees. And here is Paul on News Talk 1010. Paul, go ahead.
Great show, guys. I love listening to both of you. So I'm in the middle of a 6-month probation, like just past 3 months. And with this stuff that's going on, I could be laid off. I'm just wondering, what are my rights and their obligations?
Well, Paul, nothing really changes in terms of your rights vis-a-vis your employer as a result of this crisis or the government legislation. If you're on probation, the company has the right to terminate you, and if, the same way they have the right to terminate you without recourse other than whatever the probationary contract provides for, which is probably 1 week's pay between 3 months and 6 months, because they can't, if the contract is for less than that, it's unenforceable, then you'd be entitled to wrongful dismissal damages. But in any event, assuming the contract is drafted properly, 1 week's pay, and in the same way, they can lay you off with 1 week's pay or notice, because a layoff for a non-union employee is a wrongful dismissal. if there's nothing in the contract permitting it.
Okay. Now I'm 61 years old. Does that change anything or have any bearing on anything, or is it just what you just
No.
said?
If you're did not have a probationary contract, then the fact you're 61, even though you've only been employed, say, 4 or 5 months, might get you a couple of months' pay. But if you're on probation, you're on probation. If the contract's drafted properly, the probationary term, unfortunately, you're out of luck. Now, you're going to get EI benefits quicker now, and there's not going to be a waiting period, so you'll have more and easier access to EI if you have enough hours for EI between that and previous jobs, but not from a wrongful dismissal standpoint. I'm sorry.
I appreciate your call. 872-1010 is the number here, 416-872-1010. Here is Lisa. Lisa, you're a salesperson, so I'm imagining, are you working on commissions?
No, I'm not.
Okay, go ahead.
I got laid off on Friday. I was told that they were supposed to send me some information via email in regards to, like, my paperwork for me to apply for UI. I found out I have worked 52 weeks of the year. I changed my job, so I was with this company for approximately 11 months. The company that I work for is not closing because it's considered an essential service. I don't know what to do. I've went to the unemployment insurance website, and the website I went to, it could have been the incorrect one. Because I've had two jobs over the 52 weeks, I couldn't put all the proper information in because they were asking if I was released from my job or whatever. I'm just in a very peculiar situation. I don't know what to do next.
Well, there's two issues. First of all, EI, and you should apply, and you should just look COVID-19 EI. There's a website, it's pretty straightforward to follow. What you fill in, you give them your records of employment. You can e-file those from both jobs, and they'll have your insurable earnings on them, and away you go, and there's no waiting period right now. That's supposed to be being made quite simple to help Canadians like yourself. The second thing, which you haven't asked about, is wrongful dismissal. I think you said you were there 11 months, is that correct?
Yep.
And you're a sales, what do you make a year?
I make 63.
Yeah.
No
commission, you said.
April the 29th would be my one-year anniversary, and I'm due for another increase in my salary.
Well, you say you're due. Is there a guarantee?
Yes, it's in writing.
Okay, and what would you be making then?
I'll be making almost 63. I'll be making almost 66,000.
Okay, we'll take 66. And you're how old?
Pardon me?
How old are you?
I'm 57.
Oh. A court would give you 3 months' pay. And, of course, the first few weeks would be at your previous salary. And once you pass the date in which your salary is going to change, would be at your higher salary. So
Right. That's
the other remedy you have.
Right.
Now, given your salary and given it's only 3 months, in the context of that, that would be a small claims court case, which you could file yourself or get assistance from, say, an art degree student or someone or a law clerk to help you with.
Thanks for your call.
But that's on top of your EI rights.
You know, it's interesting that you've done these things from time to time on my show, and I've also helped out sometimes, Howard, on your Sunday show. And many of these questions that are coming in are very typical of the kinds of questions you get, except right now it's so many people that just wonder whether a lot of people who have been laid off and lost jobs, regardless of what the laws are, regardless of what their rights might be, some of these companies are not going to exist. There isn't going to be anybody to pay them.
Well, that's true. And that's, of course, the risk that everyone has to consider when they decide to sue for wrongful dismissal, whether there's going to be anything to recover at the end of the day, in which case all that we've left with is EI. But there will be lots of survivors. The whole company isn't going to, the whole economy isn't going to collapse. Every company isn't going to collapse. So you've got to do an assessment of whether your company is likely to survive and be there in a few months when this is all over.
Now, here is another Lisa. Lisa, you work at a dental office? Lisa? All right, here is Sandra on News Talk 1010. Hi, Sandra.
Oh, hi. I've worked for a company. It's a website for many years, and they called me yesterday and said that I am laid off, but they would still like to me to work 8 hours a week. I'm wondering what to do about that because they're not offering any severance. And they're saying
that
they're
legally,
back.
Legally, that, Legally, that is a constructive dismissal, reducing your hours by more than 15%. So you could do one of several things. One, you could say yes and work the 8 hours. And secondly, you could say yes, I'll work the 8 hours, and then sue them for the difference for a reasonable period of notice. And thirdly, you can just say, no, I'm not accepting that, and sue for wrongful dismissal more generally. Those are your three choices. You've been there for how many years?
20.
20 years. And how old are you?
60.
What do you make a year?
$52,000.
A court would likely give you 18 months' pay. Is this a company that you think will still be around when this is over?
I'm not sure.
Or 4 months or 5 months? Yeah, well, that's, of course, the gamble everyone takes. But, of course, with the courts being largely closed, other than perhaps filing statements of claim, there isn't going to be much legal work that's required until you're going to know the answer to that. So that's a decision everyone's going to have to make individually. I can tell you that you're entitled to 18 months' pay, and that's obviously close to $80,000. But whether you take that case or not is a function of whether you think the company's going to survive.
Thanks for your call. We can do one more, I think, before we're going to have to wrap up for today. But Howard's doing this as a series with us from 10 to 10:30 each day. Here is John. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys. I like listening to both of you. My wife is an employee at a small company, and it's not. She doesn't feel safe. They don't practice social distancing. They had a pizza lunch yesterday. One of the owners came into her office a couple of weeks ago and started coughing and joking that he was sick and he has COVID. And so they're sort of on the gray area. They manufacture and redistribute truck accessories. So I don't think they're an essential business, but they're trying to stay open. She doesn't want to go to work there. So I'm just wondering what recourse she might have.
I'm speaking to a lot of employees in exactly that predicament. There is no legislation requiring many businesses to close, and I don't know if your wife's business is essential. Let's assume it is essential, and therefore they choose to stay open. They have the right then to require their employees to keep working as long as they maintain a safe working environment. Now, I've had some people call where things had not been safe 2 or 3 weeks ago, but the company's cleaned up their respective acts, and so it appears to be safe now. In other words, there's social distancing, no one's allowed in the building that has any symptoms, people are kept far away from each other, and no one's allowed in the business who's been out of the country in the last 2 weeks. Companies in those circumstances are allowed to keep operating, to ask their employees to attend. If your wife thinks that this particular business is not entirely safe for her, and some employees, for example, have autoimmune deficiencies and have other reasons why they think it's not safe, the only recourse, if the company insists on her coming to work, is to call for Ministry of Labor Occupational Safety Inspector to come in. She has a right not to work until that person comes in. That ministry official then decides whether it's safe or not for her to continue to work. If he says it's safe, or she says it's safe, and she still refuses to come in, she's at risk of being terminated for abandonment.
Okay.
If they decide it's not safe, then she can go home.
Going to have to wrap it up for today, but we'll talk again tomorrow morning, Howard. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Jerry.
Howard Levitt answering your questions on employment law from either side, employee, employer. He's back again tomorrow.